It's time now for the broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Ray Whittington. Find out more about the Cathedral of Praise and Pastor Ray on Facebook. Just search Cathedral-of-Praise. And you can address correspondence to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Now with today's broadcast, here's Pastor Ray.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ on another Sabbath day to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Got a lot to do today. I probably won't get it all in, but we'll get started on it. Hope you've had a great week. God's been good. Ask for special prayer for the associate, one of the Reverend James Marshall, who had to be in the hospital, and other people who need a touch of God today. So let's pray, and then we'll go from there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of trouble. That's what your word said, so we declare it today. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you have called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Bless our words today. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen. Want to get, haven't been having some songs lately, but I got two that's been a blessing to me and I thought might encourage you. They're both today by Ernie House and Signature Sound. Our grandson Tyler Vestal is the pianist for the group now. So we have a little personal contact with that. But let's listen to them sing Reason Enough. I love this song.
You have walked me through the valley of the shadows dark and low, and that's reason enough to believe. You have shown me endless mercy, oh why I'll never know, and that's reason enough to believe. So I won't wait for signs and wonders to teach me how to trust, 'cause you've already proven, Lord, the depths of your great love. You took the cross so willingly and spilled your precious blood, and that's reason enough to believe. Yes, that's reason enough for me. When I took your grace for granted, I was granted even more, and that's reason enough to believe. Oh, when with compassion you convince me I'm not hopeless anymore, and that's reason enough to believe. So I won't wait for signs and wonders to teach me how to trust, 'cause you've already proven, Lord, the depths of your great love. You took the cross so willingly and spilled your precious blood, and that's reason enough to believe. Yes, that's reason enough for me. That's reason.
I say all the time that if God never does anything else for me, I'm in. I believe in the signs and the miracles, and I believe in the feeding of the 5,000. But the fact that he went to Calvary is reason enough for me to believe. Praise God. Yes, it is. I don't need God to do anything for me, you know, for me to serve him. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. First John chapter 5, verse 12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. As I said last Sunday, almost 2 years that we have aired this program on Sunday morning. I get up and try to come to you with a fresh word from God. And I hope that through that I have kind of explained to you a little bit about what my calling is. That's the reason I asked you sometime to stand with me, because I need prayer and I need support and I need people to stand with me to help me do what God has called me to do. And I can't fit in man's mold. I have to fit in God's plans. And I won't go into the details of all the wrestling I did to get away from preaching, because I was brought up in a pastor's home, and I know the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I wanted to take a minute this morning before I get to the heart of what I really want to share with you, so that you'll understand a little bit about the man and the voice that you're listening to this morning. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 gives a great example or illustration of the calling that I believe that's on my life. That's the reason I have to preach what I preach, how I preach, and when I preach, and have to adhere strictly to the Word of God, and have to preach some things that other pastors or preachers may not feel like they have to preach, because I'm going in a few minutes, if I have time, to Joshua chapter 24, and we're gonna deal with that a little bit. But in it, he says in verse 15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God has been dealing with me about that word "serve," and if I can get to it today, I will. But you need to understand. Some of you have listened to me, and you said, well, I'm going to contact that pastor. I'm going to let him know that his words are encouraging to me. But you need to understand the calling that's upon my life. You need to understand who I am, so that you can understand the message that I preach. John Baptist did not fit into the norm of his day, but he was a voice that wouldn't cry in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning of verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." I've shared with you before, people sometimes say, when did you know you were called to preach? And I know different people are called into ministry at different times. They'll be in a service, or they'll hear a word from God, or they'll be reading scriptures, or something will happen in their life that they feel like that God has called them to share the word of God. And I don't have any problem when and how God calls anybody into the work of the kingdom of God. But there's never been a time in my life that I didn't know that I was called to preach the whole complete gospel. Not just parts that I like, or not even interpret it to my opinion, but rightly divide the word of God. That's who I am. That's my calling. He said, before I formed thee. That's the reason that life is so valuable in a world today that doesn't really appreciate life, doesn't value life. It's so important that we understand that God knows us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb. That's what he told to the prophet Jeremiah. The Bible said that when Mary visited John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, that the babe jumped in her womb. I'm telling you, we need to pray over our children when they come into this world. So many get abused. They're unwanted and all of these things. And I've shared with you before, I grew up, poor people called us poor. I don't mind saying that. I had rocks thrown at me, not because of the color of my skin, but because my dad was a preacher of the gospel, and people didn't adhere to everything that it came. So he said, I formed thee, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that doesn't mean that I think I'm anything, because a prophet is only, he's a voice. A prophet is one that doesn't share his own word, he shares the word of whoever sent him. You know, I don't have any agenda. I've told you before, when you have this kind of ministry, you're like John the Baptist when the Bible said he looked at them and said, when they said, are you the one that should come? He said, I must decrease that he shall increase. How many people you know want a decrease in ministry? we live in a day that, we're judged by what the world calls success. But what we need to be judged by is what God calls success. And that's what I've strived for ever since I made the commitment to not only serve Him, but to worship Him in spirit and truth and fulfill His calling upon my Lord, upon my life. He said, I made thee a prophet to the nations. I've shared with you as a young man, I wondered how in the world my voice be heard around the world. But God's opened doors in more ways than one. See, when God promises something, it will come to pass. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I'm a child. See, when you think you're something, you're nothing. You know, somebody said, I'm on the bottom. You know, I'm on the bottom. Well, the bottom is the first thing that gets wet and the last thing that dries out. Don't worry about it. We want the acclamation of men. We want the praise of men. If we're not careful, we want the Pharisaical praise of men to pat us on the back. But I'm telling you, you serve God. Sometimes when you're pastoring, when things are going well, you're the best preacher in the world. And 6 months later, if something happens, people will come and tell you, you can't even preach. We don't need to get caught up in ourselves. He said, but the Lord said unto me, see, I'm so glad God's still speaking. He said, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shall thou speak. I get amazed sometimes, and I'm not going to get to all of this today, so I might as well just slow down, take my time, and share this with you. I get amazed sometimes at how people can get read the same Bible that I read and get what they get out of it. But because see the Bible said he came to reprove the world. A good parent is always correcting a child, not to destroy it, but to make it be somebody and accomplish something. You know, we have to speak what God says. And sometimes that goes against the grain. When Jonah went to Nineveh, he didn't offer them any hope, any help. He didn't say, well, if you do this or if you do that, you know, that God might have mercy on you. The Bible said that he just went through the streets of Nineveh crying, God's going to destroy the city. It was the people that changed. Jonah's message didn't change. In fact, he got upset when God finally heard the cry of the people. But the message was so powerful and so anointed that Jonah didn't change. Like I said, he got upset. He said, God, I knew you. You're a God of mercy, and if people turn to you, you want to bless them. You don't want to judge anybody or put judgment on anybody. But see, if we don't live up to the word of God, then that's what happens. But the people said, maybe if we call on God, maybe if we cry out, maybe God will have mercy on us. Maybe God will have mercy on us. And God did. But he said, for thou shalt command thee, And whatsoever that I say, thou shalt speak. And then he said, be not afraid of their faces. I tell people all the time, you know, when I'm preaching, they get to look at one, but I have to, when I'm in a live service, I have to look at all their faces. And sometimes if you go by the expressions on people's faces, you'd leave the pulpit in a hurry. Oh, yes, I don't mean to. I just remember through the years of 50-something years of preaching, of looking at a lot of faces, you know, because not everybody receives everything. He said, be not afraid of their faces. See, so many times if we're not careful, we allow the response of people to set the agenda. We allow the responses of people to determine what we preach, because we want to be accepted. We want our church to be accepted. We want to fit into society. But sometimes the gospel doesn't fit into what society is approving or doing or thinks right. He said, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I'm not going to finish this. So I'm going to stop right now and let you listen to this other song that's been such a blessing to me. It may take me several weeks to get this out of my spirit. But let's listen to Ernie House and Signature Sound sing Jesus Changed Everything.
Jesus changed everything. I was blind, or maybe I just didn't want to see how foolishly I tried to build my own destiny. But all my well-constructed plans failed me time and time again. So my
change everything.
That's what he did in my life. He changed everything. As I said a while ago, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, and all things become new. I could preach a whole sermon on that song. He said that part where all his plans fell apart. So broken, he came to Jesus. And that's how so many of us come. It seems like when we think we got our life together and got everything under control, we don't need the Lord. But most people come in brokenness, but he'll take you. He'll take you. And even if you've left and been out of fellowship with the Father, I believe I'm speaking to somebody this morning, like the prodigal son, you can come home. Like the prodigal son, you can shake off the odor of the pig pen, and you can leave the slop bucket in the hog pen, and you can come back to the Father's house, and he'll receive you with open arms. And now we're blessed and free because Jesus changed everything. Well, I was going to talk about serving the Lord today. I won't get there. Let me finish a little bit more of this about my calling. He said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Oh, there's nothing like he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. He touched me, and now I'm whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and I'm no longer the same. He touched me, and he said, I will be with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. God doesn't always deliver us like we think we want to be delivered. No, sometimes deliverance comes through passing from this life to the life that is eternal life. But he said, and the Lord said unto me, verse 9, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, we got to speak God's words. That's what I just said. Prophet don't speak his words. He speaks the words of those that have sent him. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's what's important. That's what's important. You know, the songwriter said, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was to pull off the old robe and put on the new. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn. The new robe was spotless and never been worn. So I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was to put off the old and, thank God, put on the new. My granddad Whittington was a sharecrop farmer. He grew vegetables and cotton down in Dillon County, South Carolina. And he never went out and just started planting, you know, seeds, because before you can have the right kind of a harvest, you got to root out, to pull down, and destroy, and to throw down. How many times before, you can't do this in the city, but out in the country, you know, we would gather all the weeds and all the stuff that, you know, all the leftovers, and we would gather them and pull them to the end of the field and set them afire before we started out with the new crop. I can tell you, I've watched them follow mules down a row more times than one to tear up to root up and tear down. See, we have to do that to destroy it, but so that we can build and plant. And people don't want that. See, they don't want that. But you look, there's a lot of construction going on today, and I watch them as they go in and they tear down this building, because if you're going to build a new building, you got to tear down. You got to start over. And that's what Jesus does. He gives us a new life. I'd love to hear from you. RayMWhittington@gmail.com or write me at P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. Like Cathedral of Praise. I'm recording or preaching live on Facebook every Sunday morning now. You can enjoy that to share it later. Pray for us, support us, stand with us. We're reaching lives. We're changing people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I see my time is coming and gone, and we are where we are. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, by God's grace, I'll pick up on some of this. But you need to know who I am, so that you'll know why I do what I do. A voice crying in the wilderness. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you And may he give you peace that passes all understanding. This is Ray Whittington saying, may God bless you. He loves you, and I do too.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise with Pastor Ray M. Whittington. Cathedral of Praise is located at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your support is needed and appreciated for this broadcast. You may address your cards and letters to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. And on behalf of Pastor Ray and all the congregation of Cathedral of Praise, we're praying for you, and we hope to see you again right here next week.